I've been on the Youth Mexico mission trip 6 times. Each time is a fantastic experience, and I always come back renewed in my faith and renewed in humankind. We plan for months for this event. Who will go ahead and who flies to San Diego first to prepare for our arrival? Who will call the church and ensure that we have a place to crash before we head across the border? How much money did we raise for this trip? Has someone planned the meals so that the cooks can cook for the youth while they're in Mexico? Have we secured the rental vans and the campers? Have the youth packed the right kind of clothes? Remember, it's a desert. It's cold at night and hot during the day. We'll spend a week building a house for a family in need. We will start with a concrete slab and make 4 exterior walls and 2 interior walls. We will stucco the outside and tar the roof. We will play with the children in the neighborhood and sleep on cots just above the ground. We will haul wood for fires and carry water for drinking and cooking over 1/4 mile. We will sing, pray, laugh, and joke with one another. We will ask each other each night where we saw God in the day that just passed. It will be a grand adventure, and we will be the hands and feet of Christ. We are going out into the world doing just as Christ had instructed. This is the trip that we take with the youth at Sandy Springs, and I know that there have been some from Lawrenceville that have joined us on that trip. It's a trip we used to take before COVID and used to take before the border got so controversial. Going across the border wasn't necessarily the safest. But I'm lucky enough to have gone 6 times as a sponsor, and each time was something to remember. Each time there was a new story to be told. It changed my life, and it changed the life of many of the youth that got to go. I'm not sure about you, but we never sent our youth out into the world without their needed supplies. That would have been like sending them out like little lambs into the midst of the wolves. We find ourselves in the same place that Diane talked about last week, being sent out to bring God's word to the people. We are here in Matthew 10 as part of the mission discourse that Jesus gave the 12 disciples. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will have a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of the righteous people will receive the reward of righteousness. The words prophet and righteousness in Matthew often refer to the prophets and faithful servants of biblical history, but can also refer to contemporary prophets and righteous ones. It is unclear whether Matthew was referring to two distinct roles within the community or whether they are simply alternative ways of looking at anyone who is a missionary. What are the prophet's rewards and the rewards of the righteous? Elsewhere in Matthew, the prophets receive persecution, rejection, and death. Not the reward I want to receive. Yet those who are persecuted are told, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Simply, the righteous are promised that they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Finally, Jesus says, "And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Little ones often refers to children. Still, Matthew uses it to refer to Jesus' disciples instead, especially those that are young in faith and vulnerable. Little ones is used as a synonym for people of God. The statement about giving one of these little ones a cup of cold water points ahead to the parable in the judgment of Matthew 25. Here, the Son of Man says to the righteous, "I am thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you have done it to a member of my family. You did it to me." The disciples are sent out to help others make a personal connection with Christ, to share the good news and introduce them to their relationship with God. What would happen if each of us did the same? How could we help others make a connection? How do we have a personal relationship and still be like Jesus? What if each of us welcomed others to Christ the same way? What if each of us were the same? What if we looked the same and acted the same? There would be just one view of Christ. Would that be something we would want to see? Scott Hosey, a contemporary writer, tells us that on the TV show Star Trek, The Next Generation, and in subsequent films, there is a nightmare alien species known as the Borg. Have you heard of them? Okay. The Borg captures people of all races and backgrounds, but then wipes out their individual personalities, cultures, and distinctive features. Through a kind of brainwashing, each person becomes just like every other person. Stepford Wives, if you remember that one. Assimilated into the Borg collective, every single Borg looks alike, talks alike, thinks alike. If you meet one, you quite literally have met them all, for they all are one. A Borg never uses the first person singular pronoun, I, for every sentence begins with we. Although Christians are brought into the one body of Christ through baptism, baptism doesn't have a Borg-like effect on believers. Becoming a Christian does not make you less of an individual. You may lose your life as you know it, and wake to a new life above the water. But Jesus promises in Matthew 10 that once you lose your life, you return it. You still have that life after baptism. So how can each of us be unique individuals God made us to be, and each also be like Jesus? What would happen if you had 100 people in a room and told them, "I want each of you to imitate and be like Jimmy Carter." What would happen? Well, we'd likely see 100 people who started to speak with a soft southern accent, like Mr. Carter, who worked on smiling broadly and would begin to say things like, "Rosalind and I appreciate your support of Habitat for Humanity." If all 100 would be Carters, they would all be doing good work. You would expect a certain uniformity and sameness among them all. So what about imitating and being just like Jesus? Why doesn't this result in a worldwide Christian community where individual personalities are overwritten in favor of the certain sameness? You know, we would all be like Jesus. We would all share God's word. We would be the same. We all worship the same God. The answer has to do with the Holy Spirit. You see, the answer concerns what can be described only as a true miracle of grace. We are all different. God made us that way. God loves variety, as Genesis 1:2 makes so abundantly clear. The human face alone is one of the most amazing creations, features we know. Each face has the same set of basic components. Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ear, two ears. And yet there appears to be an infinite variety of faces. They're like snowflakes, and no two faces are ever indeed alike. What's more, the personalities behind such faces are so very different. God is not interested in overriding the uniqueness that God created. But by a miracle of grace, God can place God's same Holy Spirit in each of us, each differently. Somehow or another, over and above, and even through our marvelous individual variations, God can make every last one of us like a window on the same Lord Jesus Christ. The youth go on these mission trips as individuals, each seeking their own experience and finding that the experience of sharing their relationship with Jesus allows them to help others begin to share their relationships with Jesus. They spend the week in the hot spring days and nights in the cold. They sleep in tents. They brush their teeth using only little tiny cups of water. They speak in broken Spanish to the family and the children around the house that they are building. They work hard. They enter a community where they are welcome, yet we find them equipped to do God's work. For unlike the disciples, all of the youth are welcome. They are unique individuals, not identical like Borgs. Each share their relationship with Christ, with others as they are witnessing. Christ calls us to tell others about God and the grace that God gives so freely. Walk into the world with faith, that some will listen, and be bold about your faith. Don't hide it, but rather share it freely. Amen.